Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Darlene Willman. I am your host of today's show on Accomplish Radio, and I am so excited to get a chance to speak to everybody today and share our speaker and the person that we want to interview. You know, we're really very excited about Accomplish Radio going on a daily broadcast show or weekdays every morning at 10 a.m. Central. And we're so excited that people are starting to let others know that we're out there, and we appreciate everyone's support, and we love hearing the feedback. So please make sure you connect with us. You can always listen to any of our shows at AccomplishRadio.com, and of course, get your free subscription to Accomplish Magazine at AccomplishMagazine.com. So I wanted to go ahead and tell our listeners today that you know, our speaker is coming to us from Canada, and she is a person that it's an interesting story, and I'll share it with you because, you know, sometimes it's good to hear the history of how networking all happens. I'm constantly asked, how is it that, you know, I can do a daily show and have all these people to bring to the, you know, to our audience? And it's because I do love to network. That's been my profession for 20 years, and I love bringing people together. For example, the U.S. Small Business Conference happening in September is just another way I bring communities together. So reaching out to our network, you know, I love the fact that I get authors who love to submit and send their books to me, and we get, you know, I always give a great review. I read through them. They don't just sit up on my shelf. In fact, I really collect autographs in a lot of books. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're an author, send me an autographed copy, and I'd love to talk to you. So without further ado, I just want to introduce you to Sufi. Now, she has been, she sent me her book years ago, and it was just coincidental that when she sent it to me, I was just starting to get myself into the spotlight. And her book is called Step Into the Spotlight. And I ended up crossing paths with Sufi in person at a conference. And we talked briefly. I think I got another book from her again. And, you know, I was telling all my friends about her. And, you know, it was one of those things that I just knew instantly I needed to reconnect with her. So later on, years down the road, obviously, here I am on a talk show. I never saw that coming. But now that I can bring people to our show, it only makes sense for me to go back to, you know, a lot of the people that have influenced my life or changed the path that I'm on. And I definitely have to say, Sufi's book really made a huge difference in my life. So I highly recommend you go out and you get her book, Step Into the Spotlight. But for now, I'd like to go ahead and tell you a little bit more about who this woman is. She was recently featured in Entrepreneur Magazine. Sufi is the author of a hot new book, Step Into the Spotlight, A Guide to Getting Noticed, a silver medal winner in the 2009 Axiom Business Book Awards. Sufi has been described by the Toronto Star as a starburst of energy, bright, bubbly, and upbeat, and by Publishers Weekly as a coaching dynamo. And her book, Step Into the Spotlight, has been endorsed by Tom Peters, J. Conrad Levinson, Jack Trout, BNI founder Ivan Meisner, Les Brown, Al Reese, and many other New York Times bestselling authors and experts. She was a singer, television actress, and comedian, and the subject of hundreds of feature newspaper articles, television, and radio appearances internationally. Sufi has appeared doing stand-up comedy in nightclubs and on national TV, appeared on television and film commercials internationally. Sufi coaches CEOs, entrepreneurs, business owners, authors, speakers, and experts to catapult their brands and themselves into a starring role. She coaches business leaders to get seen, get heard, and get noticed. Once named a super achiever by Canadian Lawyer magazine, Sufi is a Dean's List Law School graduate, Her music CD, Under the Mediterranean Sky, has made top album lists all over North America and is played on the radio internationally. Soufid's unique story was the subject of a national television documentary, which aired on several networks across Canada. Soufid is an in-demand keynote speaker, TV show host, seminar leader, and mom, although she points out that she is not currently taking on any new clients in the last category. That's hysterical. Please help me welcome to the show today, Soufid.
Hey there, Darlene.
Hi, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you? Thank you for the great intro.
Oh, you know, it's such a pleasure. And like I mentioned earlier, your book was very instrumental in my own, you know, launch of my own business. You may not know how much of an impact it was on me, but I tell everybody, I'm like, you guys have got to go and get this book. It really made a huge difference for me. So I was really excited to reconnect with you and talk and set you up to be on our show today. So thank you for being here.
Well, that's awesome. It's always great to hear that because, you know, you write it, you put it out there, but, you know, until the stories come back, you don't know the impact. So it's great to hear.
Absolutely. And, you know, reading some of the ideas and the strategies that you shared, it made perfect sense. And, you know, years ago, I received an award from the government. It was an SBA award and for Women in Business Champion of the Year. Every time I say that, I hear Rocky Balboa's theme song, Rocky, you know, playing in the background. And anyway, so, but when that happened, the publicity that came from that just was a floodgate. All of a sudden, I was receiving lots of phone calls and emails and, you know, people that wanted to, you know, get to know who I was and interview me and feature me in different places. And it had a ripple effect. It literally went, you know, a pretty far reach. In fact, I was interviewed from a radio show in Hawaii. And I thought, wow, isn't that amazing?
That's what happens when you step into the spotlight.
That's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So let's just have a conversation today, just like we're having a cup of coffee together.
Let's do it.
And, you know, just get into our stories. Cause,
I got my blueberry tea here on ice.
Blueberry tea. Well, that's different.
It's really hot here, so it was on ice, yeah, yesterday.
That's
now that
wonderful.
Melted, but I'm still drinking.
That's great. So let's kind of talk a little bit about, like, your accomplishing this book. I think putting this together and putting so much work and energy and focus into this book, what inspired you to write this, first of all?
Well, you know, maybe we can roll it back a few steps. You told people a little bit about my story, but basically I have been on stage since I was a kid, 5 years old, singing for the neighborhood kids on the deck. I remember we learned a song in grade, I forget what it was, whatever age you are at five, kindergarten, about how you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. So I was dressed up in this pink outfit with this other little girl. We're singing on the deck, and we would gather the neighborhood kids together. And then I went on and, you know, in singing in high school and in being in musicals and things like that. But I was in the debate club, but people always said to my parents, oh, Sophie's probably going to end up being a lawyer, because I was also, you know, really into advocating for people and the whole debate thing. So it was either, you know, singer, actress, or lawyer. Well, of course, singer, actress is not a very practical profession. Lawyer is. So I got a little bit nudged in that direction, and that's what I ended up doing. So I was a civil litigation lawyer for 10 years. And during those 10 years, I would sometimes go out to shows and see other people performing, and I would think, you know, I'd like to do that. You know, why them and not me? And so I kept saying to myself, you know, one day, one day, one day. But it's really hard because it's not very practical, as everybody knows. So I just kept on being a lawyer, and I'd take the subway downtown, and I'd have a baby, and I'd, you know, drop her off, and then I'd go home and, you know, go downtown and work some more and make another baby and drop her home. And, you know, I did that four times, four babies in four years. And all girls. And
in 4 years.
Four and four, and all girls. And we, you know, perfected the girl formula. And so what happened was, after that, I thought, you know what, okay, you know, if not now, then when? So I said, I had kind of that Peggy Lee moment, that is all there is, you know, is that all there is moment? And I decided, you know, now was the time. So I did, and I started working towards getting gigs as a performer and left law for the limelight. Left law to be a singer, actress, comedian, and one of my first gigs was as a host in a comedy club for a week, and I think I got $70 for the whole week, like $10 a night, and it was, and that meant I was a professional comedian because they paid me, right? So I did that, and then I put out a music CD, and I started promoting it, and it eventually made top album lists around the world, and people started asking, and I got publicity for it, and people started asking me how I did it. So slowly, slowly, I started coaching other people on, you know, following their dreams and how to accomplish it, and notice the subtle reference to your radio show.
I love it. You know, I'm very tuned into
that
word, accomplish.
That word. Yeah, accomplish it. Never used that word before. And so how to do it. And then what I started to do, they would come to me and then they'd say, yeah, but, you know, how do you make money do it? How do you, you know, so I started coaching people how to do that, how to follow their dreams, find something that they love to do and make money doing it. And I started doing that for a few years, and slowly, slowly, as my fee started to get higher and higher, you know, and then I started coaching them on how to get noticed in business and how to do that 30-second networking information, you know, everything to do with promoting their dream business. People started saying, well, Sophie, we can't afford you anymore, because I was charging more than I had charged as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, can't
you
write a book?
Wow, wait. You charged more than being a lawyer.
Yeah, I do now charge more than lawyers charge.
Wow.
Per hour. And in fact, I have, you know, there are some lawyers probably who charge more than I do, but I have clients who, right now I'm coaching a lawyer, and I charge more than he does per hour. And I'm coaching him to raise his fee. So it's funny how that turns out. I guess the gods are rolling in the aisles with laughter.
No kidding.
But right. So anyway, so as I started to become more expensive, people say, can't you just, like, write a book? So, you know, for $20, I'm competing with my own coaching. But what happens is now people are reading it all over the world. And I got asked to speak in Guatemala, and, you know, which I said, let's do it by teleseminar. So I don't have to go. But I just spoke in California last month, and in Quebec and all over. So it's really fun. It gets you out there farther than you can get by just, you know, being local.
Wow. I love that. And really, when you put it all together and, you know, put the ingredients out there, you literally spelled it out exactly how to step into the spotlight in your book.
Yeah,
and,
how to do it.
You know, I'm sure your coaching and everything else even emphasizes that a little bit more, a lot more, I would imagine. But, you know, obviously you got to a point where you said, you know what, I need to put my words in writing. I need to just get out there and do a book. And, you know, you must have had that moment that said, I don't care what it takes, I got to get a book done.
You know, I always wanted to have a book. I used to watch TV. Mm. Well, first of all, I wanted to have a CD, right? And that was like my lifelong dream. And then I did that about 10 years ago. And I promoted that, and that was fun. But then I had this other dream that I also wanted to do a book. And I have to tell you, I gave birth to 4 kids faster than I gave birth to this book. So, you know, it's kind of deceptive, because you read it and it's funny and it's kind of light and it's fun. And, you know, and I have one client, one person who's bought the book. She says she's on her 35th reading of the book, because every time she reads it, she
I know I'm ready to read it again, too.
Oh, you must.
A couple of years.
You'll get stuff that you didn't get, you know, the first time. Anyway, but the point is that you want to put it on paper. It started with speaking, really. You know, you'd give a speech, and then you'd give another one, and then you started to kind of develop a shtick, you know, like kind of a routine. And then you think, okay, but I have one more thing to say about that, and one more thing to say about that. And slowly, slowly, you start to write it down. Now, a lot of people write books really quickly, and you'll find that there are a lot of these, you know, write a book in a weekend kind of courses.
Mm-hmm.
I have
mm-hmm.
to tell you, like, not to say anything, you know, I believe in action,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe in writing a book in a weekend. I mean, it's not a bad idea to, you know, do an outline in a weekend maybe, but, you know, the fact that this book took me 6 years is because I'm this crazy perfectionist. And again, I'm not saying people should be overly perfectionistic or whatever that word is, but it's got to be good. Like, I knew when I wrote my book that I wanted it to win awards. I mean, it won the silver medal. It was also an award-winning finalist in USA Book News.
Congratulations.
Awards. Sorry?
I said congratulations. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You. And the entrepreneur thing. And so I just wanted to make sure that when it came out that it was well received and that it did get noticed. I mean, if it didn't get, you know, the subtitle of the book is Step into the Spotlight, because all business is show business, and then the subtitle is A Guide to Getting Noticed, right? So if mm-hmm. the book didn't get noticed, then I wouldn't be a very good coach. You know, people, I wouldn't have the credibility to teach what I teach, which is how to stand out and get noticed. So I had to make sure.
And it's adorable. It's bright orange with this cute little, you know, old-fashioned TV on
there.
Yeah, kind
of retro, bewitched kind of look.
I love it.
Yeah,
love
it's fun.
It.
I have a lot of those TV references from, you know, when we grew up. So it has to be something that really represents you well. And I actually, to tell you the truth, I wrote two other books first. One was called Follow That Dream, which is the name of my coaching business, and the other one was How to Be Your Own Publicist. And I decided that neither of those books I wanted to put out. I mean, after writing them or substantially writing them, I decided that they weren't unique enough in the marketplace. And even though they're needed, there are a lot of other books like them. And I thought, okay, well, how can I put my little twist on it? So How to Be Your Own Publicist became a chapter in my book. It became a big chapter, but it's just one chapter, chapter 5. And the Follow That Dream is kind of infused all throughout the book. But I wanted to give people more, and I wanted to be known for more. And so that's how that came about.
I love it. Writing a book to me is a huge accomplishment, and I've been in several books where I've, you know, been a contributing author, and I'm trying to write my own and get that done, and, you know, launching a magazine, having a radio show, and a conference all together. It's
That's
just,
a
you
lot.
Know, a little overwhelming.
That's a lot. That's a
and
lot.
Raising
and
some children.
That is
but,
a
know,
lot. Yeah.
I think I'm addicted to accomplishing a lot. I live full out, you know. I mean, really, I just... You have to play big, and you have to just, or my girlfriend, she would say to me, play big or go home, you
yeah.
know. I
yeah.
love
Although
that
sometimes I
thing.
Do go home, I have to admit. Sometimes I play
well,
big.
Well, what do you do when you're already at home?
You know, sometimes I play big, and sometimes I go home. I mean, no, the thing is, playing big gets tiring. So
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, one thing I say in the book, and I really do believe this, it's great to step into the spotlight. Once in a blue moon, you got to step out of the spotlight and, you know, go sit by the lake and read a book. And rejuvenate.
Oh,
I mean, at
important
least I do. I personally do. Mm-hmm. And then I can step back in. But I can't live in the spotlight all the time because it's pretty strong glare. Do you know what I mean? It's pretty. I can't always be moving and always be accomplishing. So sometimes I have to kind of, you know, refill. I don't know what the metaphor is, but you know, put some more gas in the tank or something.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of times that I have to re-energize myself.
Yeah,
too.
That's a much better way of saying.
Well,
that's what I wanted to say. Yes.
Well, you have to, because otherwise you're putting so much out there, and you know, you really are being smack dab in that spotlight.
And you see those celebrities burning up, you know, like Lindsay Lohan or you know Britney Spears or whatever. Like they
yeah,
live their lives
no
in the
kidding.
Spotlight. I think that would be a bit much. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear step in the spotlight, they say to me, well, I don't know if I want to do that, you know. And I tell them, well, I'm not talking about dancing across the stage in a pink boa. You know, I'm not talking about 24 hours. I'm saying just figure
Although
out
that
a way.
Although that could be fun.
for a minute or two. But you know, but it's a way of, you know, stepping into your power, to use a cliche. It's a way of, you know, not being in the shadows. You know, because you can't help people. And a lot of people say, you know, I don't need to get famous. I don't need to get known. I just want to help people. And what I say to those people is, how are you going to help people if you can't find them? How are you going to help people if they can't find you? More importantly, I don't think you have to find them. I think they have to find you. And how are they going to find you if you're not out there, if you're not visible? So what Step in the Spotlight is about is how to become visible, how to become credible, and how to have that extra magnetic attraction so that people want to come to you and want to hear more about what you can do for them.
Let's talk about that attraction, because I'm, you know, I really do focus a lot on that in my lifetime, in my career, anything that I'm involved in. It's like I'm not a person to really go, you know, chasing people down other than, you know, it's much easier to pull them towards you instead of to push them, right?
First of all, you don't experience the rejection that you feel when you're trying to chase. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they start their business and then they start chasing, you know. They do. I get these cold calls every once in a while from a financial advisor or whatever and saying, hi, I'm so-and-so from XYZ Financial, and, you know, I just want to talk to you about, you know, do you have an investment advisor and, what you know, are you in mutual funds or whatever? And I'm thinking, really? I'm going to hire some guy who's sitting there, you know, as a financial advisor, I'm going to hire some guy who's sitting there cold calling me? Like, it just, the message that you get from that is, he's not busy, he's not successful, he's not, and that doesn't mean, by the way, that he's not good, but we think that he's not good because he's not successful and he's not busy, and he's obviously not successful and not busy because he's spending his time calling me instead of, you know, working for his clients. So it sends the wrong message. Mm. So what I really believe that you have to do is get out there, be credible as, you know, either an expert or some kind of a celebrity, and it doesn't have to be a full-out big celebrity. It could be kind of a mini celebrity in your field. or just be so charismatic that they come.
Just, you know, you mentioned becoming an expert, and I think that's actually a critical element because, you know, get good at your chosen field, your profession, and your whatever it takes to know your stuff inside and out. That, you know, I think the more you know about your chosen field and your profession, the more that people are drawn to you because they're like, wow, how do you know so much?
Well, just, you know, I kind of agree with you, Darlene, and I kind of disagree with you, so this will make
okay.
good radio. I'll tell you the part where I kind of disagree with you. A lot of experts, it's really crucial. I agree that it's really crucial to be great at what you do. It's really crucial. So you should. I mean, I inhale books about marketing and branding, and like I read more than anybody I know. So I do fundamentally agree with you. But I guess the part where I disagree is I have a lot of clients who have like PhDs and MBAs and, you know, all this stuff, and they just read more and they get more credentials. They're coaches. Coaches love to get like, you know, 1,000 letters after their name. It means absolutely nothing to the clients. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't have letters after my name, and I've been doing this, you know, for 8 years, and I have, you know, tons and tons of coaches who are my clients. My competitors are my clients, and it's because somehow I'm able to communicate to them that I know this. So an expert is not somebody who knows what she knows. An expert is somebody who is known for knowing what she knows. And that's a really crucial difference. You know, so yes, it's important to know what you know, but that gets you kind of to ground zero. If you don't know what you're supposed to know, then you're below zero and that's bad, and of course you want to be expert. But that's still not enough to attract people, in my opinion. You have to actually make it known that you know what you know.
That's
and
good.
Also, sorry, go ahead.
No. Go ahead and continue. Sorry.
Well, you have to be known for knowing what you know, and you also have to be known for being a little bit different. Not better, not smarter, not faster, not cheaper, but different. Something different. There has to be something unique about your approach. So, you know, for me, I'm a business coach, but it's funny. You know, this morning before I spoke to you, I went to a networking event at 7 a.m., and there were two other business coaches in the room, and they did their 30-second blah, 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 and God only knows what they said. One was saying something about get to the next level, and the other one increase your profits or whatever they were saying, right? But here's the interesting thing, okay? So I'm the third business coach in the room, but I don't really call myself that, right? Those two business coaches came up and bought my book for me, okay? They're my competitors, right?
Wow.
And you know, usually after reading books, people, you know, sometimes come to me for coaching as well, so that I coach them on how to compete with me. And I've done that for years, with coaching, you know, people on how to compete with me. So why would they come to me, you know? And it's because somehow I was able to communicate something slightly different than what they were communicating. You know, nobody wants to hear any more of this, you know, get to the next level stuff, because we've heard it a million times before. So you have to really figure out the essence of what are you selling and how is it different from what other people who say, you know, you're an accountant or you're a financial advisor or you're a web designer or whatever it is, what is it that you can bring to it that's different? And there's so many ways to do that.
Speaking of that, I find myself, you know, with the U.S. Small Business Conference, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, and I'm very creative. I love to think of things that are very different, very, you know, I feel like a trailblazer a lot of times where I'm like, kind of just plowing through stuff no matter what and see what works and, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, thinking about, you know, U.S. Small Business Conference, okay, well, that sounds so generic in a sense. You know,
yes,
why would somebody want to hop a flight, you know, to come out and attend, you know, those kind of things. And that's something that I find that's challenging, you know, on occasion.
Well, see, the challenge is, I mean, if you were my client and you came to me, you know, to help market the U.S. Small Business Conference, the first thing I would say to you is, how am I going to remember that name? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, the words kind of sound like other words that we hear regularly. And there needs to be some kind of either a visual associated with it or some kind of outrageous, provocative language associated with it. although you're very clear on who it's for, which is good, you know, because so you know if it's small business or whatever. But I think that if you brought something more to it, and again, you know, I can't tell you off the bat what that would be, but it would be something that you, like, how are you different than other conferences?
Exactly. And that's really it, because I feel like it's different. I know the experience is different. You know, one of the things that we focus on is bringing together, you know, highly connected business professionals. you know, I like to bring other people together that love to network as much as I do, that have a group of people that they know and that, you know, their own community, their own tribe, so to speak, you know. And
so if you made it something more like that, you know, that you made a point that you're inviting tribe leaders, or, you know, I don't know what words you would use, but if you made it clear that you don't want, you know, and by the way, part of what makes a business stand out is being powerful and provocative and I won't say, you know, to be arrogant or cocky, but confident enough to say who it's not for, okay? So if you wanted to make this a conference that would really attract people, you might want to say something like, you know what, if you're a little web designer, you know, working from home and you don't like to get out of the house and you don't know anybody, maybe this isn't the conference.
May not be the right place for you.
You know, now that's going to offend a lot of people who might otherwise come. Okay, but what it's also going to do is attract a lot of people.
I allow everybody to come into, you know, that they're all welcome to be a part of our conference.
Well, I mean, you don't have to.
In fact, I want them to meet those people that are influential, that have that kind of.
Well, then you can do two different marketing campaigns. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you have to do it this way, but what I'm saying is, decide who you want to attract, and make a point. Like, for example, if you want tribe leaders to come, then you have to say that in a way to them that it feels exciting to them. Like, I would go to a conference if I felt like I'm going to meet, you know, a lot of go-getters like you. But if I'm going to meet, you know, I mean, I like meeting people anyway, but not everybody does. Some people really just want those connected people. So if you emphasize that a little bit more, when you say U.S. Small Business Conference, it sounds like, you know, Wonder White Bread, you know, to me.
If
you could throw a few raisins and seeds in that bread, you know, a little bit of cranberry. All of a sudden, it's toasted cranberry olive bread.
And now it's
something
a little bit more flavorful and
focaccio,
more enticing.
You know, a little bit. then, right? Isn't that better than a, you know, a slice
that's
of Wonder
true.
Bread?
So absolutely.
Anyway, just off the top of
my
head.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
That's interesting.
But you should still go to Darlene's conference, because regardless of what it's called, I'm sure it's great. And one of these days I'll probably be speaking there, so you got to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, this, your book to me has literally had the right formula, the right ingredients. It was such a, it was actually very humorous. It was very quick to read through, in fact. I don't think I put it down for, you know, several days,
wow.
You know, and it was one of those things that I went, this makes so much sense. And why aren't more people doing that? And a lot of times, you mentioned one part in the book about, even if you could get closer to those people that are truly in the spotlight, even being in the shadows, you're still sort of being seen.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
I just met Paula Abdul, okay?
Oh, my gosh,
so,
wonderful.
So I met her in the hallway, okay, and I gave her a book. But that wasn't enough, because I wanted to be seen to be meeting her. So I redid something where I stepped into the spotlight again and re-met her on stage in front of other people. And I asked her, you know, how I could get my book to the people on American Idol, and she said, leave it with me. And so I gave her another copy, and
wow.
I'm supposed to follow up with her and see what happens with that. So, you know, I met Joan Rivers recently, same thing. By being in the reflected light, it doesn't always turn into anything, but, you know, sometimes it does.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a brilliant concept, because a lot of times people will go, well, I don't know if I want to be that well known, and yet they still
want
to be.
You don't have to be.
Right.
You can be well known in your niche. You can be well known in your city. You can be, you know what I mean? You just have to be well known where it is that you want to be well known. You don't have to, you know, unless you do something outrageous, you know, where they, you know, people report about you whether you want to or not. Usually you have some measure of control over it. And, you know, the truth is, between you and I, and all the people listening, so I guess not just between you and I, I'm actually a very private person. And I don't really want to be full out hugely known, because I'm very cognizant of the fact that that really does interfere with your privacy. I mean, one of the things that I say in the book, that one of the pros of publicity is that you can get really well known. One of the cons of publicity is that you can get really well known. You know, and, you know, when I go to the grocery store and I'm wearing schleppy ripped jeans, and you know, with the car, with the, you
yeah,
know,
you
white
don't
van,
have to get all decked
Mark.
Out to go up to
yeah,
the grocery
yeah.
store to get milk.
I want probably, if I'm having a fight with my daughter on the way into the grocery store, I don't want somebody coming up to me asking for an autograph. Now, I do autograph books, but it's within the context, in a business context, where it's, or you know, where I'm a speaker or whatever, and
it's organized.
It's mm-hmm. organized, and I know that I'm on, right? But mm-hmm. celebrities never get to be off. You know, they always have to be on, and so
it's almost a little bit of a balance. You determine the volume of how much you want to bring in and how
yeah.
little you want to bring.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have a perfect measure of control, because sometimes things just take off. Like, I mean, Susan Boyle or whatever in Britain with that kind of, but you know, she knew she was, you know, going to be on national TV. But you can even be, I mean, I'm regularly on, I won't say regularly, but frequently on national TV. And it still doesn't make me, you know, known everywhere I go. Although, you know, I was in a bookstore one day, and a woman came up to me and said, oh, you're Sufid, aren't you? And I said, yeah, and I'm trying to figure out where I know her, and I thought maybe I went to school with her or whatever. She goes, no, I've seen your documentary on TV, and I saw it twice, and the second time I taped it. You know, because usually nobody would just remember my name from just seeing it on TV. And so people do actually sometimes recognize you and whatever, but it's such a small scale that it never becomes a big deal. I mean, I wouldn't want to be Madonna with, you know, helicopters flying overhead going through my garbage bins. So again, you can control it. Like, I really just want this for business. But some people want it for more than that, you know. And if you want it for more than that, then, you know, certainly I have politicians who've bought the book. I just had one of the finalists in Canadian Idol just bought it.
This is a great idea because, you know, there's so many people out there that are really trying to get themselves known in their niche, and, you know, they're trying to find out, you know, for example, I just had he's trying to become a circuit judge. Perhaps he's listening to our show here today, and he's like, Darlene, will you help promote me?
Yeah.
And so he really does need to have that support, and I'm going to call him up. I'm going to say, you have got to go buy this book right now. Is it available in Amazon? How do they get it?
Yeah, they can get it at Amazon.com, or they can go to stepintothespotlight.com. And there's one more thing that they can do. They can go to secretsfromthespotlight.com. That's secrets, plural, fromthespotlight.com, and stick in their name and email address, and they'll get 11 free tips on how to introduce themselves at a business event.
Oh, well, this is perfect. You know, here's one of the things I was just about ready to ask you is, you know, if you were going to give some advice to someone who is perhaps just starting their business, you know, maybe they're in their first, I don't know, 1 to 5 years, somewhere in there, you know, if they were trying to start the process, you know, of stepping into the spotlight, what would you tell them?
Well, I tell them a few things. I mean, there's really three basic components to this. One is you need a stardom state of mind, which is kind of an attitude. And that's something that I can't explain really, really quickly because, you know, I do a lot of work with clients on that. But that's kind of the first thing you need. The second thing is you need to choose your role in the marketplace, which is all about branding and positioning and really figuring out what are you really selling. What's your character? What's your persona? What's your story? What's your process? Who's your audience? You know, what kind of pricing do you have? And then the third one is when you really take the actions. And, you know, so these are the practical to-do things, like, you know, publicity, publishing a book, doing a speech, cultivating celebrity networking, building your own fan club, starting a movement, which is something I recommend to people. Those are the do things. But what a lot of people do is they come to me for this third rung of things, you know, how do I get publicity? How do I do a 30-second networking infomercial?
So they jumped the first two.
They've jumped the first two, and I say, whoa, there, let's go back. You know, you don't know what you're selling. How can we sell it if we don't know what it is? How can we get publicity for it if we don't know why you're different? How can we, you know, cultivate celebrity? So I force them backwards. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time talking just about the state of mind thing. The first thing, that comes, you know, while you're discussing everything else. But a lot of people really are shy, or they're thinking of themselves as a salesman rather than a star, or even an expert. Like, to me, an expert is an important status, but I think there are a lot of accounting experts that still don't have business. You just have to add that something extra that makes you a sought-out expert, and that's what I like to call a star. So, you know, I can just give you a few quick ideas for the second thing, but, you know, again, it's a process, and, you know, they'll get a lot more information in the book And they can go to stepintothespotlight.com if they want to find out more about how to contact me. But so basically, you have to figure out, what are you selling? What's your story? And when I say, what are you selling, I mean, what are you really selling? Like, you know, I'll just tell you a quick story. Coca-Cola got in this, you know, the cola wars with Pepsi because Pepsi made it about taste. Pepsi did the Pepsi challenge. Everybody said they liked Pepsi better in blind taste tests. And so Coke went and changed the formula of their drink because everybody liked Pepsi better, right? Well, that didn't work. Remember New Coke? It bombed. And the reason that it bombed is because maybe people weren't buying Coke for taste. You know, maybe they were buying Coke for nostalgia. Remember, Coke has all those nostalgia tins, and they, in the war, they said every soldier should be able to buy a Coke, and they had 5-cent Cokes and all this stuff. The Coke was about an idea. Coke was, one guy said, actually, he was the VP, I think, or maybe the president of Pepsi at the time. He said about Coke, Coke is the American dream in a bottle. Only Coke didn't recognize that. They got mixed up when Pepsi spun their head around, and they thought that they were about taste. So maybe you don't know what you're really selling. So figure out what you're really selling. Figure out what your story is. Choose your character in the marketplace. Choose your persona. You know, just a few words about character. Again, using the TV analogy, remember the show Happy Days? Richie Cunningham, played by, what's his name? The guy who played Opie, Ron Howard, was supposed to be the lead in that show. And yet what quickly happened is Fonzie, the Henry Winkler character, Fonzie, took over as the lead because he was a lot more defined as a character. He wore a black leather jacket. He was kind of a tough guy. And eventually they wanted to call it Fonzie's Happy Days. So make sure you choose a strong character in the marketplace. Johnny Cash, when he was a singer, is a great example of a strong character. He wore black. He recorded an album live from Folsom Prison and San Quentin, live from San Quentin or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
Over the objections, by the way, of his record company, who thought he's absolutely nuts. By the way, if you're doing the right thing, most people will tell you that you're nuts. So that's kind of a good indicator.
That's a good cue. Good sign that you're on the right path to it.
Yeah. And so then the other things you have to do are, you know, make sure you have a really great name for your business. So, like, for example, if you're a computer repair service and you call yourself Excellent Computer Repair Services, that's not going to get as much play as Nerds on Site, you know, or Geeks Are Us, which are actually
right.
Two names of computer repair companies that are doing pretty well, as far as I understand. There was a handyman who, you know, when he came up with Rent-A-Husband or Husband-For-Hire, whatever it was, he started doing well. So a good name. What's your process? Figure out your process, and then get some really provocative pricing. Don't look at what your – I mean, you should look, but don't get stuck on what your competitors are charging people. I always say, you know, you have to stand out there. Now, a lot of companies have chosen to stand out by being cheaper. We're the best deal. We're the cheapest. We're the fastest. I think that's pretty stupid in most cases because most companies aren't strong enough financially to be able to compete when somebody comes and undercuts them with price, because that means you have to even go lower and lower and lower and lower. So if you have to stand out by price and being middle is the worst, and being cheaper doesn't work, then be the most expensive. Or you don't have to be the most expensive, but be more expensive, right? Be exclusive. So that's, you know, that's really important. And then just make sure you know who your audience is, you know. And don't just accept any old audience, you know, and I'm talking about your market that comes along. Make sure that they really, you know, can benefit from what you do the most. So, I mean, I have had people in network marketing buy my book, and, in fact, sometimes they buy cases of it to give their downlines or whatever. But I really intended it for people who are the directing mind of their company, that it's not somebody else's company. So the people that have bought it that are in those companies have to kind of think a little bit more entrepreneurially than just, you know, hucking somebody else's thing. So these are all things that you can do before you even get to the third tier, which is, you know, about the speeches and the publicity and publishing a book and networking and building a fan club and starting a movement and all those other things.
Oh, wow. I
just jumped a lot on you, but...
No, and that's good. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, to our audience out there, you know, you can follow these pieces bit by bit or just go get the book. Just get the book. Step into the spotlight, you know, or connect with Sufi. I know. Do you offer any kind of group coaching or any kind of?
I'm going to be offering a group coaching starting in the new year. Okay. In the meantime, I have a very select number of one-on-one private clients, and I don't take everybody. I have a couple of openings right now. So if they go to followthatdream.ca, CA stands for Canada, followthatdream.ca, you'll find a link there that will tell you a little bit about the coaching and how to connect with me.
Wow. This has been absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad we had a chance to talk and to hear more about, you know, your book and to figure out some of the steps of getting yourself into the spotlight. And, you know, I'm curious, were there any stumbling blocks? Were there challenges that you may have faced when you were, you know, creating this?
You know, that's a really great question. And I'll just tell you a funny story before I answer your question. When they did the national TV documentary about me, they asked me a similar question. You know, Sufi, what hardships did you have? You know, what challenges did you have? And so this is TV, right? But it wasn't live. It was recorded. So my answer was, things have, you know, gone pretty smoothly. They've gone well, you know, whatever, right? That was my answer. So you know what they did? The producer or whatever had the cameraman turn off the camera, right, and say, Sufi, we need some challenges. Because it doesn't make good TV, right? So then they turned, I said, okay, I'll give you the right. So they turned back on the thing, and I had to give them some challenges, and because that's just good TV. So that's a good question for your radio show, but I just thought I'd share that.
Well, sometimes it's important that our audience hears.
So they
that,
really understand.
You know, everybody has. Yeah, everybody.
Everybody has. And, you know, it's a good question. So, yes, I mean, challenges, many challenges. First of all, when you start out, you don't have a lot of money. And so it's really a choice. Do you spend a lot of money on things like advertising and, you know, ads in the yellow pages and this big fancy schmancy websites or whatever, which, you know, if you ask me, even to my clients who are very successful, I say that's not the best way to spend your money. Or do you just really put it in things like learning, networking, whatever, which is the choice that I made. And, you know, I ended up getting fully booked in 10 months after I started my business by doing that, by really, you know, networking and going to events where I would meet people face-to-face rather than, you know, a lot of people will start a new business and they'll, you know, buy the fancy schmancy stationery. You don't need the stationery. You know, they'll buy the
stationery can come later on.
No, yeah, or never. I mean, I still don't
or
have,
never.
You know,
yeah.
Nothing. Or you print, you know, it doesn't have to be. But what you really need is you need to get out and actually meet people, and you need to develop this expertise. So that's one challenge. The other challenge was, and a lot of my clients face this, and I faced it too, lack of focus. So people who are good at a lot of things, which I'm sure many of your listeners are, because if they're listening to a show, you know, called Accomplish Radio, they're go-getters, and so we're often multi-talented. So you have here a singer, actress, comedian, songwriter, lawyer, coach, speaker, I don't know, whatever it is, who coaches on speaking and publicity and, you know, all these different things that I coach on, right? And it just becomes too much. Nobody can remember any of that. And so one of my challenges was, and I shared with you that I wrote two other books or didn't quite finish them, but before this one came out, was what do I want to be known for? What do I really want? You know, how do you take the blurry dream and make it a reality? How do you, and that is so hard. I mean, people can tell you it's easy. It's just not. And actually, you know, probably 30-40% of my business right now is coaching people to do that, to focus. And so they'll bring me all these many things that they do, and I'll help them kind of hone in on one of them to start, or figure out what they all have in common so that they can be put together under an umbrella. Because this list thing that people do doesn't work. You know, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I, you know, I'm a rocket scientist, and I do practice on the side, and I do
Reiki. Wildly famous for that.
Yeah, well, and most talented people are. You know, but the problem with that is it actually hurts them rather than helps them. We think that we're really impressing people by telling them all the many things that we can do well, and the truth is we can do them well. The one thing we can't do well is express it, because it just doesn't sound credible and it's a long list, right? So we have to figure out. So for me, Step Into the Spotlight was a way of taking everything that I'm doing and putting it in one phrase that people generally understand what it means. You know, or the same thing with Follow That Dream, which is the way I started. And even if they don't know exactly what it means, they're intrigued enough to ask you more about it. But this long list approach just doesn't work. So those were some of the challenges that I faced. And you know what? Continue to face, because, you know, with the focus thing, I'm getting more and more and more focused as I go. I mean, in order to write a book, you have to be focused, because the thing is, when you're speaking, you can change the speech every time, right? But this book, it's 288 pages. It's bound. And it's in the store. So when I get a new idea, it's not like I can go to the bookstore and scribble in the margin. You know, oh, I have a new idea. Here it is. You know, and scribble it in the margin. I mean, I do have a blog. You can see it at spotlightblog.com. So when I do get new ideas, I can put them there. But still, it's a finite thing. And so you have to kind of focus enough to put it in a finite thing, like a book. And you have to focus enough.
You know, this is such a critical piece
to
what you're talking about, because to accomplish anything, you have to really stay crystal clear and focused to kind of get through all the steps to really get to the end result, which is the final product, right?
That's right.
And you're perfectly right on target with that. And everything that you're sharing with, you know, being smack dab in the spotlight and the all the experience and everything that you had already bundled under that, I like that umbrella approach. And multi-entrepreneurs,
and you have to look at, like, what do I have? What do I know that I can use? Here's one more thing I'll tell you. I'll tell your listeners, actually. Don't worry about sounding overly professional. I think that that's what kills a lot of businesses. They try to really impress, and that's not what stepping into the spotlight is. It's not about saying, look how professional I am, and look at my nice suit, and look at my nice car, and look at my nice ad, and look at my nice, you know, office. It's about finding the color and the flavor and the idea, you know, the creativity, whatever it is that you do, finding that and finding a way to communicate it and show it. And that attracts people.
I really like that. Thank you so much. That is a great thing to stay completely focused. And it is easy to add more or, you know, accumulate different talents and say, oh, look, you can do this and you can do that. And I think it really just diffuses the light
more. That's exactly right. It diffuses the light. And, you know, people ask me to do a lot of things, and I say no to just as much as I say yes to, if not more. I mean, and, you know, I know that's not like New Agey. You're supposed to say yes to the universe and say yes to everything. But it's actually, no, if you say yes to everything, then you're not making any kind of choices at all. How are you ever going to accomplish anything if you say yes to everything? You've got to kind of be selective and ask yourself, does this thing get me closer to my goal? Now, you know, sometimes you have to keep your, you know, you have to be open-minded, because sometimes you don't think it will, and it will lead to something even better than what your original goal is. So I'm not saying you should be closed to new opportunities. But if it really, you know, isn't the right thing at that time, then just say, you know what, not today. I'm working on this today. Like, in order to write a book, I had to say no to a lot of other stuff, you know, because there's always something going on. I mean, people are still asking me in the U.S., when's my next album coming out, my music, right? Well, so far I only have one. You know, and they're asking me now, when's my next book coming out? And my answer is, not anytime soon, because, you know, there are still entrepreneurs in the world who haven't read it, I will be out there, you know, spreading the word so that they do, because, you know, it took me so many years to really distill everything that I wanted to say into this one book. And, you know, I read it. I came back from an event recently, and I think they were, there was nothing good on the movies. I had seen them all on the plane. And so finally, in desperation to read something, I only had one book with me. It was my book. So I pulled it out. And, you know, you don't usually read your own book, right, after you write it.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled it out, and I read like three, four, you know, halfway through it on the flight. And I thought, whoa, I should do this. You know, it kind of really holds up. And so you can learn even from yourself, you know. But you have to stay focused to do it.
Sufi, this has been wonderful. You've been just so giving with your concepts, your ideas, and we've just scratched the surface and really just had a sample of the wonderful things that you can offer to people. And I really want to encourage our audience to go visit her website, you know, stepintothespotlight.com, and you know, really connect with her and get to
know
her.
Go get those free
tips
at secretsfromthespotlight.com, because that way you'll get some free tips on how to do this stuff, or at least how to introduce yourself.
Well, I thank you so much. We're just about at the end of our show today, and I wanted to just ask you, you know, real quick, is there anything else that you might want to share before we end our show?
Yeah. This is something I learned both as a litigation lawyer and as a lawyer in court. The most important thing, if you really want to stand out and get noticed, is you got to know when to sit down and shut up.
Wow. Sit down and shut up. Okay, so you have to keep talking. I know you were trying to shut up.
No, that's my big ending. You just blew my big ending. No,
no, I'm fine.
That's how when I speak, that's how I end it.
On a radio show, you go, silence, oh my gosh. No.
Yeah, no. You can talk, just me, I shut up. No, the point is, a lot of speakers, when you've said it and you've made a good impression, just shut up. You don't need to say anymore. I learned that in court too, because you could be winning, and then you say one extra thing, and you lose your whole case, right? So when you've done well, if you go do a 30-second networking infomercial at your local chamber of commerce and you did well, stop. Sit down and be quiet, and just let it go to the next person. I heard a guy this morning. He was sitting beside me, a business coach. He went on for like a minute and a half, and everybody was just saying to him, like, shut up. The person was trying to get him to sit down.
So sometimes, you know, really there's a lot to that. Less is more, right?
Less is more, yeah. Less
I
is sometimes that. Less, but it's often more. Pretty tricky.
Well, Sufi, this is fantastic. I'm so glad we had time together today. And, you know, I hope that our audience, you know, really values what they've learned. I certainly have. And
I'm
so
honored
appreciate
by the invitation.
Time.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, hopefully we'll connect again, and I'm sure we'll have a chance to follow up and you know, get a chance to talk. And I want you to keep me posted and let me know all the wonderful things, you know, that you have going on.
Right back at you, Darlene. I wish you every success with everything that you're doing. Go to her conference, and I look forward to speaking to you again. Thank you, Darlene.
Wonderful. Thank you. And to our audience, you know, just as a reminder, you know, we're going to be broadcasting our show weekdays at 9 a.m., actually 10 Central. And I just want to thank everyone who tuned in for our show today. Start each day with a powerful story or hear some inspiration, you know, words of encouragement. And so at 10 a.m. Central, we will be online and broadcasting live. And if you miss any of our shows, you can always go to Accomplish Radio. com to listen to them. And just make our show your favorite. It'll also send you reminders so that you can get an email reminder letting you know when the upcoming show is. If you're interested in possibly having your business mentioned on our show, we are now accepting our business spotlights. Sufi, I thought you'd like that. And you can go to accomplishmagazine.com to learn more about that. And we want to encourage you to get your free subscription to Accomplish Magazine by going to accomplishmagazine.com. We are actually going to print publication now, so we're very excited about that. Our magazine was designed to be electronic because it reaches audiences all over the world, so we will mainly have that, but now we have a print option for those people that want to receive it directly in their mailbox. So make sure you check into that. And as far as the U.S. Small Business Conference, again, that's happening September 10th through 12th, I want to encourage everyone to visit our website, ussmallbusinessconference.com. And one of the things that we actually do every year at our conference is we recognize someone who goes out of their way to make introductions, that wants to connect other people, that is literally bringing business to other people and passing on those referrals and letting people know all about you. And they do it tirelessly, over and over, regardless of what's in it for them. They do it just purely because they want to see you become successful. Those are people that I want to acknowledge and recognize. So we actually have an award that we have nominations out right now for. It's America's Most Influential Business Connector. And so each year we recognize someone in the country. And we're also going to be doing Best Business Connector in Dallas. Since we will be in the Dallas market, we want to highlight and feature the person that seems to be the one doing all of that. And, you know, it's just a way of paying it forward, letting them start to receive instead of them being out, being the one to do all the promoting for everyone else. So definitely go online to USSmallBusinessConference.com and nominate someone. It doesn't matter where they're located. They can be in your community. They can be a leader. They can be, you know, an executive director of a chamber of commerce, for example, or, you know, maybe it's another organization that they're always bringing people together and they're having their community. So, again, you've been listening to the Accomplish Radio Show, and my name is Darlene Willman. I am your host of today's show, and I'm also the publisher of Accomplish Magazine and the founder and CEO of the U.S. Small Business Conference, and I am wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments. Have a wonderful day.